Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
If you wrap foil around that, just like the little bit of the base part of the banana where the fruit is, wrap foil around that top and they will last longer.
You know, I'm something of a scientist myself.
Who needs your bananas to last longer, though?
Look, I don't want to go to the store every day for bananas.
They're 8 cents each.
What the hell are you talking about? What is going on?
You're going to wrap them in foil?
They're better when they're just a little green. Yeah.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Too much work.
Not that much trouble, Ritz.
Too much work.
Says the guy that's got a spreadsheet with 3,000 fantasy teams.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
How much is foil is the right question. How much is foil? Is foil worth more than the banana? I do not know. It's my... You know, privileged status, I suppose, to not know the actual price of aluminum foil in the year 2024, but I do not. Probably under $5 for that long box. What do you think? You don't know either.
I don't know.
You're the one buying it to wrap all of those bananas.
But it lasts, it doesn't spoil the foil. Like No. It'll be there a long time. So
you don't reuse it?
No.
You might.
No, I don't,
though. You could.
It's tough. After it's been, if it's on a bunch of 8 bananas and I'm using 2 or 3 at a time, by the time I'm done with the bananas, that foil is, I'm barely holding it together.
Okay.
So
That's how I feel about the draft.
It's pretty done.
I'm barely holding it. Chris Trapasso, are you barely holding it together? How are you holding up, Chris? We got another week to go.
I'm holding up pretty well. And on this topic, my oldest daughter, Lucy, who's 6, she likes bananas that are like closer to the green side than the yellow side. So I may take Bulldog's suggestion to try to keep them as, I guess, fresh or not ripe as long as possible.
It just slows the ripening process. So I like to buy them green, and hopefully if I use them through the week by Friday, they're still, not that ripe.
I cannot have...
Good to know.
I cannot have this go unchecked. I'm sorry. It doesn't have to take the entire segment. Here's a way to avoid that happening. Eat them.
I'm not going to eat 8 bananas in a day.
But you have 4 people in your house. How many are in a bunch? Like 6?
Hardly anybody else eats them. I get them. Okay. Maybe they stay away from them because they know I want them for my protein shakes. And so
I love that.
I don't
Chris,
wanna,
I love that. Don't eat the bananas around
Dad. I don't want to go to the store every other day, so I buy enough bananas for the week.
Okay.
and I like to keep them ripe, or not too
ripe. Learn something new every day, and yes. I did not know that previously, so that's good. Thank you, Bulldog.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Glad to be of service to you and the millions of people listening out there.
Another way to try to come up with a new angle here, talking about round one, the Bills, pick 28, wide receiver, where we often start. As maybe we're starting, I mean, you'll tell us, get precise with the mock drafts, you know, more leaks maybe, more information is known, perhaps, about what teams are planning on. Who are the teams, you're the Bills, you're Brandon Bean, you might think you have to trade up to get who you want, and you're willing to do it. Who are the teams we're worried about? Right, Chris? I mean, with as many wide receivers as there are, there could be several. I think one might, just for example, that might be interesting is Dallas at 24. I mean, these teams usually have other needs too. But who would be the teams, like the Bills themselves or a Bills fan is worried about basically sniping them?
Yeah, Dallas at 24 would make a lot of sense. They haven't really done a lot. They could use receiver even with CD Lamb's extension kind of looming. I think the Cincinnati Bengals at 17, although if you look around, if you talk to Joe Goodberry, I don't know if you guys have had him on lately, but he's awesome, obviously, with the Bengals. He's kind of lean on Twitter, like, oh, it's going to be defensive tackle or offensive tackle. But I think with the T. Higgins situation, it kind of feels like this is going to be his last year in Cincinnati. He's going to play on the franchise tag. Then they have to give Jamar Chase the monster contract. I could see Brian Thomas going to the Cincinnati Bengals and them just kind of keeping their fastball at receiver. And then even at 18, the Jacksonville Jaguars losing Calvin Ridley in the division to the Titans. I know they bring in Gabe Davis, but to have Gabe Davis, Christian Kirk, and Zay Jones as their receivers, it's not really that much firepower for Trevor Lawrence. So those three teams, and maybe the Colts at 15, they could probably use someone alongside Michael Pittman. They drafted Josh Downs last year, who was great in the slot. Those three or four teams from, like, pick 15 to pick 24, you're going to kind of be holding your breath if you're Brandon Bean when those teams go on the clock to see if they don't pick a wide receiver.
Can I ask you maybe why not Pittsburgh for that list? And I'm thinking maybe you would add Pittsburgh, or maybe you think they're just going to do something else.
The reason why once in a while, and I think in my most recent mock, I did send Brian Thomas to the Steelers, so that was a team that just that I didn't think of right away.
Okay.
It's because just of their history with waiting on wide receiver and how many good wide receivers they picked in the second round or later. And they did that with George Pickens. Now, there's not really a wide receiver that has the Pickens story where Pickens didn't play in his final season that much, so that's kind of why he fell, but he felt like a first-round talent all the way leading up to that injury in his final season. But I think that's just an organization that certainly values that spot, and it is a relatively newer GM with Omar Khan. But I've mostly gone offensive line or cornerback for them because those traditionally with that organization that I think that is one of the organizations that you can look at just the franchise's history because there's been so much stability at head coach and GMs have just been kind of brought up in-house that I think they lean toward offensive line and defense more so than receiver in the first round.
How are you feeling in general about the class and there being a guy that either you like for the Bills or that you suspect the Bills would like for themselves at 28 if they don't go? Like all this put together. I know your most recent mock today, I retweeted it this morning, you have them going way up for neighbors, actually. You have falling beyond Odunze and Marvin Harrison Jr. But all that said, like how reasonable is it to think Brandon Bean can just, I don't think he'll be sitting there with his arms folded, twiddling his thumbs, going like, I'm so bored right now waiting. But like, can they stay put and get a guy that you think they'll like or that you like?
I do. I think that player would probably be A.B. Mitchell from Texas. I know that with him, and I'm sure you guys have had a bunch of other analysts on talking about the wide receiver spot. With him, it's like there's some inconsistency on film where he doesn't finish routes. But if you watch more receivers today in college, if like they know that like it's a throw to the right side of the field or the quarterback's going to scramble and they're on the left side of the field, they're going to run the route. And then like 2 seconds later, if they don't feel anything coming their way, they just kind of throttle down. You see that with A.D. Mitchell. That's the one concern. Low yards per route run. That's somewhat of a concern too, because it really was the Xavier Worthy show there at Texas. But 6'2", low 4.3s, 40-inch vertical, fluidity through the roof at that size, I think that would be like the stick-and-pick wide receiver that I think they would like the most to, you know, be a big slot receiver, win down the seam on slot fades, or just play on the boundary. Mm-hmm. And probably someone that has his best football in front of him. I do agree. I think that Brandon Bean will be certainly antsy. And why I – just quickly, why I sent Neighbors to the Bills and had the Bills trading up. Peter Schrager had Malik Neighbors as the third receiver off the board. And what I thought was interesting about that, Peter Schrager is 50 times more plugged in than I am. But over the last week, I had unsolicited a source tell me the same thing, that Neighbors – because of some of the off-field stuff, is going to be the third wide receiver off the board. Reached out to someone else to kind of corroborate that. They said that they had heard the same. So I thought, man, if Malik Neighbors just keeps falling, that's going to be like what you're kind of outlining there, that Bean is not going to be twiddling his thumbs. And if he falls to 8, 9, somewhere in that range, I think that he is so dynamic of a player and is exactly what the Bills need. That's where I could see him saying, all right, we love A.D. Mitchell. We like Ladd McConkey at 28. But, man, we would love to just trade up to get that dynamic of a player in Malik Neighbors inside the top 10.
What is, as you know it, the off-field concern about Neighbors?
That is a lot harder to get out of sources. They have kind of referenced to me that there are things, but they don't want to divulge those details. It's apparently from Tony Pauline was, oh, like off the field, like partying. He had an incident or something with partying at Mardi Gras. And I'm like, okay, if I was at LSU and I was a 21-year-old superstar at LSU, I'm going to Mardi Gras with my buddy Brian Thomas and Jaden Daniels and having a good time and not thinking anything of it.
Yeah.
Now, maybe there, don't hold me to that, because maybe it will come out that he did something horrific there, but that has not come out yet. But also, too, what I think, what another source that told me that they had not heard that Neighbors was going to go as the third receiver did say, I think what is playing into the Neighbors stuff is that Harrison is going to check all the boxes, film, preparation, maturity, and so is Odunze. So it's more so comparing those two Neighbors as opposed to just Neighbors is this terrible guy. Like, that's not really the sense that I got.
Allegedly, Neighbors considers Meatballs Bill Murray's finest movie. Allegedly.
Dropping like a rock.
Wraps bananas in foil to save the dime. There are some character concerns. They ask those questions to the prospects, and that was just a red flag right there when that happened. What about the Giants as a team to pick Odunze or Neighbors? I mean, a wide receiver at 6. There's quarterback speculation there. How strong is your lean that receiver might be what the Giants end up doing?
It's pretty strong, and that's more about just what I've gathered around the league and just at the combine, that if they're not able, obviously, to get up for a quarterback, that's where they will go. And I think for the longest time, we just wrote, all right, it's going to be Neighbors, Neighbors, Neighbors. But for a lot of those reasons that I mentioned, that the character, like if the grades are close between Odunze and Neighbors, that Neighbors really checking all the boxes interview-wise and off the field might be the reason that he's the pick. What I will say on the Giants, to me, and this is just my own opinion, I have been stunned that we have not heard more about the Giants doing everything possible to move up 2 spots, maybe 3, to just get a quarterback. That if you're Joe Shane, you finally get this GM job, you're a young GM, you're Brian Daboll, you get your head coaching gig, and you just have Daniel Jones and Tommy DeVito and Tyrod Taylor. Like, this is their third draft. And I know that the Vikings have more ammunition, but it feels like if you're the Giants, if you're those two guys at the top of that organization, they should be doing everything possible to try to get one of these quarterbacks. You don't know if they're going to be amazing, but I think it would just be a shame if, like, the Giants are terrible again next year and Joe Shane and Brian Daboll get fired because they just never took a swing at a quarterback in the draft.
You know, I like that you said all that. What could get them fired maybe isn't whether they take that swing, it's whether they win this year, you know, because they could do that. It makes for a very messy season is all. Like, if they love the guy, do it. Like, if they love Daniels or May, do it, fine. And they might still. But yep, it makes for a very messy season with Jones. I mean, Jones is also, like, I don't know, am I trying too hard here? when stuff comes out, like in defense of Daniel Jones, it comes right from ownership. You know, like, didn't he have like a carpenter or somebody, Mara, who was leaking about, I don't know. I'm getting a little sideways here, but they might not be able to do that. They might do it anyway. They might be on the hook this year to win. And if that's the case, best player available, right? Like that's Odunze.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that will probably align with their biggest need, which is wide receiver, and that it wouldn't be shocking if the Giants are like, hey, we have Rome Odunze as our sixth or seventh best player in this draft. Here he is. We couldn't get a quarterback. We have, you know, Daniel Jones on the books for this huge number this season. Let's just see what we can get out of him and maybe convince ownership, hey, we went 8-9 this year with terrible quarterback play, but Daniel Jones is off the books in 25, and we have a nice receiver group. The offense is improving. The roster is a little better.
One more year.
We need to have them keep their – yeah, one more year.
Right.
So maybe it's better for them to keep their job or to kind of petition that as their job. It would just be weird after spending the time in Buffalo and seeing how aggressive Brandon Bean was to get Josh Allen, who I'm sure Brandon Bean wasn't dead set and knew that Josh Allen was going to become an elite quarterback, but at least he took the swing. And it's just weird that to me that – first 2 years, no quarterback. They extend Daniel Jones. And now, like, the team that we have heard probably the least amount of buzz about picking a quarterback and being aggressive to do so is the Giants sitting there at six.
Good point. With Chris Trapasso, we've talked a little bit, not to have this all be about receivers, as we spent so much time on that. And then now this Giants chat, which is interesting. Chop Robinson, one of the edge rushers, thought to go perhaps at least in round one, 4 to 5 edge rushers in this first round. Are there one or more of these guys, Chris, where, again, hypothetically, the Bills don't trade, that they would have to take? You know, like maybe Robinson is more, say, if the receiver that they want is gone, okay, and we'll get our receiver later, something like that. Dallas Turner, someone else. Like, are there edge
UCLA
rushers?
UCLA kid, yeah, Latu.
Yeah, like who are the edge rushers where the Bills might be tempted?
I think any of the top four. Jared Verse is the only one that you guys didn't mention from Florida State. I know that you guys are aware of him. Your listeners are too. Those big four are really like, it's a super top-heavy edge rusher class. And it feels like that Dallas Turner will probably be a top 10 pick and the first edge rusher off the board. I don't know if that's set in stone. He's not like the consensus top edge. But any of those four with Latu, maybe not as much upside because he's almost 24 and he's just super polished already. The pass rush move arsenal, you saw it the last two seasons at UCLA, crazy productive. He's bigger. I think he's about as good as he's going to be in the NFL, and that's very good. With Chop Robinson, the reason why he is my edge one over Latu and over Jared Verse and Dallas Turner is that his pressure generation rate, I think I said this last week, was close to 20%. It was just below where Latu was. It was like 18.5% or 19%. And he's young, and the pass rush move arsenal is only starting to appear. It got better in his final season at Penn State and late in the year. And he just has that extra gear and bend around the corner that none of the other players have in that big four. So to me, I think that is what the Bills have needed. They've needed edge rushers who can get to the quarterback quicker and can win like Von Miller, like we saw in the early stages of 2022. That would be Chop Robinson, where even if an A.D. Mitchell or a Ladd McConkey or Xavier Worthy are still on the board, if that is accompanied by a Chop Robinson, don't be surprised if the Bills take almost all of their time to make that final decision when they're on the clock.
If they don't go with an edge player at 28, you've mentioned it's top heavy and it drops off. Like, what kind of business can they do? They only have the one pick as of now on Friday, pick 60, and then you're into Saturday. Like, what kind of chances do they have to find someone who can at least rotationally chip in? Because edge is a need on this team.
For sure. This might sound weird because I do think that it is a very sizable need, like you mentioned. If they don't go edge in the first round, and that's certainly not what I would suggest is plan one, I think, you know, plan A would be to go wide receiver. But I think if they don't go in the first round, they should just wait until the day or the third day of the draft. Because the perceived to be second and third round edge rushers, I personally am not a huge fan of. There's Chris Braswell from Alabama, who's Dallas Turner's teammate. He's going to probably be gone in the early second round. The strength, the length, the pass rush moves are there. Marshawn Neyland is a name that I think Bills fans should kind of familiarize themselves with from Western Michigan. Big, long, super athletic, but just very raw with his hands. Was not very dominant at all. Pressure generation rate was like 12% in the MAC. So maybe you can tap into that, and we know the Bills have kind of leaned in that direction in the past. But beyond that, there's just in the middle portion of the draft from second to fourth round, not a lot of edge rushers that I think can be, like you're saying, that instant rotational piece. I think rolling the dice on someone fourth or with one of those three fifth-round picks would make more sense. It's, you know, a lesser likelihood that that becomes a really good player, but the Bills have certainly hit on those day three guys. And I just like some of those project-y types later than hoping that someone is going to be really good that they pick in the second or trading up into the third round.
Last thing real quick, there was a report of a visit. Cooper DeJean, is that how you say it? DeJean or DeJean?
DeJean, actually.
DeJean? Yep. Kind of an interesting player. Safety, maybe he gets moved or something in the secondary. Iowa, right? Do you have a favorite landing spot for him?
I'm trying to think where I've mocked him before. Honestly, the Bills wouldn't be a bad spot because he really can do it all. He can play in the slot. He played on the perimeter at Iowa. He's a great tackler. He had his pro day just like last week, and it was a pro day, but he did test like an elite athlete. Great in coverage, gives you returnability. There's not really a favorite fit. I'm trying to think. Would be a team in the mid to late 20s. That's where it kind of feels like he will go. I don't think he's spectacular in any area, but there's not a real clear flaw to his game. He's just a rock-solid football player all around.
What kind of an idea at 28, if he were there, would he be for the Bills to you?
It would depend on who's on the board. But if all the edge rushers are gone, if there's only maybe one or two of the major receivers left and they have a plan at receiver after, I would be fine with that because I wouldn't love it, but I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't think it's a monstrous reach. I think I have him graded right around where the Bills pick. Just because truly of how versatile he is, I'm a huge fan of the plus athletes, and he's certainly that. And, again, I think it's vital, and Taron Johnson is so good in this. Open field tackling, that with him, he is amazing in that regard, that he's not going to miss a lot of tackles. So that would certainly help beyond what he can do in coverage.
You talk real quick here about his versatility. Is he someone you could see as a safety for this team right away, or is he a corner?
I think he can be a safety. I mean, we thought that with Christian Benford, but with DeJean, it's his instincts coupled with how quick he triggers to the football and then the ball skills that he showed at Iowa, a lot of pass breakups, a lot of interceptions. He feels like he could really be maximized under Sean McDermott that already does so many different things and asks for his safeties to play in so many different alignments and different roles.
Mocked to Miami in your latest here.
Miami,
21.
Yep, they need a corner, so that's a decent fit, too.
Much respect for the multiple trades here, the Bills, the Falcons, the Seahawks, moving around.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. Right. I want to see more of those.
I do, too.
Actually happen.
What are we doing here on this planet if we're not going to mock trades in these drafts? I agree.
Exactly.
Thank you, Chris. One more time next week.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports. Over to you at home, in your car, 803-0550, the draft in 8 days. We'll talk to Paul Hamilton in less than 40 minutes on Sabres locker cleanout, whatever might be the latest speculation about the coaching vacancy and whatever else. Very interesting night in the NHL last night. Washington, is this a first? Clinching a playoff spot last game of the year at an empty net goal and a tie in regulation where the Flyers don't know that they're eliminated yet or whatever, but Washington gets that last spot. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after sports, 803-0550 to call in. This is WGR.
He can come down the bench and he can yell in my ear.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
5 seconds later, he was tossing me back out there because he knew that I was going to get the message. That's interesting, and I've had coaches throughout my entire hockey career, some that are able to do that, some that have maybe struggled with in the past. I mean, I obviously had a really good relationship with Don. I've known him since I was 16 years old, and so that's maybe different for me opposed to other guys on the team. But if you're able to get a coach that's able to do that with every guy, it's really big, and it helps a lot. And it's not just me as a rookie. I mean, he would get into it with older guys, too, on the bench, and he would make sure that they're playing at their best, and it is really important for a coach to be able to do that.
Alex Tuch has Gerard Gallant experience. What will the Sabres do? Yesterday, as you may have heard, Kevin Adams live on WGR talking about experience being necessary in whoever the Sabres go with as their next head coach.
Yeah. So definitively speaking about his criteria for hiring a coach that, you know, I don't have to be right about this, but it felt very much to me like he's walking out of that room with somebody like in his mind that he knows wants this job. Because I don't think if they had a clear blank slate to hire this coach, which, you know, they could choose to do, but Adams cut that off at the pass yesterday by saying plainly, like, this is a requirement. I don't know if he used the word requirement, but I mean, it sure sounds like that. I mean, I know teams can do anything they want in the end, but if they try to get up there to announce a college coach or their Rochester coach, Seth Appert, like, Adams is going to get lit on fire because he said plainly, my goal is to do this. So I feel like he wouldn't have spoken that definitively about that criteria if he didn't have something in his hip pocket that he felt really as close to certain, if not definitively certain, about.
Gallant probably works.
Yeah.
Experience, been around a long time. He would easily meet the criteria we think Adams was sort of laying out, thinking about. But he might have someone else in mind. We'll find out soon enough. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, 803-0550. David is next. Hello, David.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Yeah. So it sounded like nobody's really made the Brian Thomas Jr. case yet for the Bills, from what I've heard, and kind of with all the absolute slander that occurred at the beginning of the show, I kind of just wanted to call up and be the Brian Thomas Jr. advocate.
Absolute slander. Can you give me an example of the absolute slander that was represented on this show about Brian Thomas Jr.? I think I said he's not my favorite idea anymore. Is that absolute slander?
No. It ignores his unique set of elusiveness and size that I think is a combination that no other wide receiver in this draft has. To me, he's got more of a quick twitch than either like Harrison or Odunze. You kind of can see in both route running and in his yak. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I really liked his timing with Jaden Daniels way more than even like Neighbors. And it just seems like he can get open in like a ton of different ways. You kind of have brought up the yards per route. And it might be kind of like somewhat excuse making, but you can only run as far as the end zone. Like, he had plenty of like 30-yard TDs that would have been 50-yard TDs. And like, nobody brings up his 17 touchdowns. Oh, sorry. I guess nobody that I've heard kind of talks about 17 touchdowns, but like, at some point I feel like those have to factor in. And if we take like a single stat, like yards per route, like, I'm not sure that kind of properly factors that in.
Well, thank you. You know, points taken. It one thing that I said earlier that I think is there is with so much information and available tape and everything that we have now, think about all the people who are analyzing this stuff, and so many fans are doing it like David and to whatever extent ourselves. You can find whatever it is you want, good or bad, about guys. Mm-hmm. My truth is numbers. And I know that it's a good line. Like, you can't run, you can run past the end zone, but they don't count that. Right. Or Joe tweeting highlights of A.D. Mitchell being open and the throw is 5 yards off. But it is what it is. Scott Barrett, receivers drafted in the first three rounds in the last 4 years with a career yards per out run under 2.0. Get ready. Amari Rodgers, Tyquan Thornton, Devin Duvernay, Jonathan Mingo, Terrace Marshall, Michael Wilson, Chase Claypool, Josh Palmer, Van Jefferson. That's all of them. Thomas is in that club. Against man coverage, Nick Pentecoff, Udunze 4.16, Franklin 4.02, Thomas 2.04. And touchdowns for me traditionally are a red flag, not because touchdowns are bad, but because they're just small sample. So I'm sure the tape is amazing. He's going in the first round. He will be drafted in the first round, maybe even in the top half of the first round. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't draft a guy with these statistical comps ever. Maybe on Saturday. But I'd always have someone else. It wouldn't get to that point. Someone else would pick Brian Thomas in my draft.
Right. Yeah. I don't have a whole speech laid out. I respect this analysis that Mike is telling you about from the different analysts that he's looking at. I'm just worried about getting the guy that's sort of in the middle. Like I like more the idea. You've got the top three guys, and then you've got this bunch of guys that you can pick one out of that you like. If you stay put or only move a little, and Thomas could end up there if he takes a tumble, but I don't know. Like I'm more, I guess, and this is not analytical at all. Go big or go home. Like if I'm going to trade up, I'm going to trade up for the guy that's pretty good that I can get at 15 or 18. How much other stuff do I have in my arsenal to throw in here that I can go all the way up to get a guy that doesn't have any red flag? Right, that's those top three dudes are almost flawless. I'll bet you can. I mean, we're hearing today mysterious off the field issues with neighbors or something. I mean, it's that season here. I feel like any one of the other three guys from a on the field football playing the position of wide receiver standpoint, you've got a guy that's going to step in and catch 80 balls. And I don't know about Brian Thomas Jr., about route running and whether he's as plug-and-playable to be warranting giving up in a year where I have to replenish any draft capital. Like if I'm going to give up draft capital, I guess I'm telling you I'd give up more to go get the guy that doesn't need the ramp-up time. I think that's called for because of where the Bills are at the position, on their timeline, their quarterback. That's it. Like I don't trust it enough to take him in the middle. I guess this logic would dictate that if he were there at 20, if he falls all the way to 28 and he's the highest rated guy, then you should just do that. But the ramp up thing worries me about him.
Everybody would, your word from earlier, laud you if he slipped to 28 and the Bills just sat there and made that pick, that you didn't trade up, you didn't have to, you got the number 4 rated guy, all of that. I just think I would be nervous no matter where you picked them. Thank you, David. Good job. Getting connected with the fans brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Dave is next. Hello, Dave.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thank you.
Question for you. How many, if the Bills were to try to flip picks in the first round, how many picks do you think they could move up if they were to trade Dawson Knox, throw him in, because he has kind of a high cap hit?
Yeah.
Or even Kaiir Elam.
I don't think either guy has much value at all in a trade to increase your draft capital. Not that you said it. The contract is a deterrent. Like if Knox were on the, at the tail end or like on a more modest contract, that's it. I don't need the timing of his extension or whatever. If he were on a more modest contract, then maybe. But I don't know what the appeal then would even be. I mean, I think you might be looking at the draft thing. I can find a guy that does that, and he'll be on a rookie contract, and I'll draft him in the third or fourth round like Knox was drafted. I don't think there's a lot of value there at all. And Elam is a ghost. I mean, I if some team really liked him and it's more of a scheme fit, more man press coverage, maybe you can get something. But, man, it's nothing but a throw in to me in a deal. If you're using Elam in a draft day trade up the board, to me it's the equivalent of a seventh round pick.
Yeah, he goes for a day three pick, but you don't really need day three picks. You know, you would do it just to give him.
We already got a bunch of them here.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
A new start. But, yeah, the Knox contract is really tough. It never made sense to me. Just never commanded targets. Now you have Kincaid, too, to sort of mute him somewhat further. It's $24 million dead cap this year and $16.9 next. So this is not even like 1 year away from giving you that out. Thanks, Dave. I mean, it's sort of logical, right? Trade guys to move up. We've had a couple of good conversations about who can maybe the Bills trade to do that. And the best name I heard, best idea I heard for that was Matt Milano, and I think most people would rather not. So, you know, fine. But Cordy Glenn, in retrospect at least, seemed kind of perfect for that. And, you know, the Bills on the inside had doubts about where he was going in his career, and they were able to make a key move with him toward Josh Allen. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, at 803-0550. This is WGR. If you are crazy go nuts for the NFL draft, make sure you check out our interview with Davis Maddock, Sports Grid, and a few other sites earlier today. Bulldog, this must have been, we haven't discussed it, but just exactly your style when he started listing off running backs, because I'm guessing he went 3 for 3 in naming running backs you are not familiar with.
He did a great job. Actually, there was one name on of the three that he mentioned that I had read something about, but I honestly don't remember which one it was. No,
Isaiah Davis, Vidal, we think maybe was Toledo. And then Dylan Laub from New Hampshire.
Laub is the one. Was he at the Senior Bowl, maybe catching passes? I remember seeing or hearing something about.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
A guy from New Hampshire, running back from New Hampshire, pass-catching machine.
Yes.
But I guess I would have to cop to not having had the name committed to memory. But when he said it and he said the school, I'm like, I know who that guy is.
So he's your
least
favorite.
Get him out of here. They don't need another pass-catching running back anyway. They've got one, though.
Don't they? They do. They could justify that, in my opinion. They could.
I think they more need a Latavius Murray type replacement, like a bigger, more physical runner. And if he can catch the ball as well, great. But I feel like that's the piece that's more missing.
Here's a name for that player.
Yep.
Latavius Murray.
He
already was the oldest running back in the league.
He's going to be another year older.
So was Cook. I don't know. Yeah, that makes sense. Isn't it kind of funny, though, that, I don't know, were we wrong to spend so much energy on Allen rushing last offseason? And he ran for 15 touchdowns. No quarterback, I believe, has ever run for more than 15 touchdowns in a season. Jalen Hurts also ran for 15 last year, but it's a crazy number.
Yeah.
Like, did Thurman ever do it? 15 in a year?
Boy, I don't know.
OJ had a 16. He might have had another one.
Maybe Thurman got bigger. The 15 rushing and receiving, but I don't know about rushing.
I bet he did. I don't know, though. Yeah. But 50, I'm looking now, 50 players in NFL history have rushed for 16 or more in a season, and Allen ran for 15.
We should have tried a little harder.
One more is all he needed. There was probably one called back
in
there.
One more chance, a replay review or something.
There should have been. They should have gone for it,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, I mean, just like, to me, that's something, every time I think about it, I blurt it out, that he ran for 15 touchdowns, because that's just incredible for a quarterback to do, for any player.
I look forward to us getting through the clutter of content that this draft provides and starting to argue with Bills fans about how much Josh Allen should run again. At some point, after maybe at some point after the draft, or maybe, who knows, maybe even before, McDermott and Bean are speaking tomorrow, I believe, that's scheduled. So maybe they'll talk about needing to curtail that, you know, like Bean has done before. They both have before. So maybe they'll ignite a whole other round of.
I'll tell you what they should do if they get that question. Just throw your hands up.
Right.
You know?
We can't stop him.
McDermott could be like, you know, we've had this conversation so many times. He and I have had this conversation 10 times more often. What is there left to say?
Don't touch the stove. It's
Josh
hot.
Josh is going to Josh. I mean,
right.
Anybody else have a question that I can? I have no control over how often he's going to run. How about that? How about saying that? Because that's the truth.
Yeah, what am I going to do? Bench him?
Yeah, I'm just. What really? That's what you guys have. I came all this way. I'm here. You got me for like half an hour. That's what you're going to ask me after what's happened already. I wouldn't bother. I think we've kind of. It's over. That conversation is over.
You're too quick to that.
Paul Hamilton, after sports locker cleanout day, there were some really interesting. I was going to say pointed, but I didn't hear names. Interesting to hear what some of the top players on the Sabres had to say about what practices were like and maybe whether there was a consistent level of dedication overall from the team and, you know, maybe beyond just the players. That's coming up. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.